This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday, and it's been an awesome night already, and I'm going to get to a bunch of emails this hour. We are going to discuss the White House banning crosses and things like that from the Easter roll today. We're going to talk about cities, so much more, but before we do that, you know what time it is, don't you? It's Monday. It is the start of the second hour on a Monday. And that means it's Medal of Honor Monday time. Now, for you new listeners of the show, this is something we do every single Monday at this exact time. We take a Medal of Honor citation and we read it. Remember, every time a man earns a Medal of Honor, they do a write-up on what he did. And all these are available online for free. Multiple websites. I do not have some special access just because I'm an Oracle and a professional athlete. Now, what, Chris? No, seriously, anyone can do this. Read these with your kids every now and then. Read them with your Sunday school class, with your Little League team, with your class. These men deserve to be remembered. Their names deserve to be remembered. When I read books about stories of these heroes, I honestly, and this is probably not healthy, but I honestly feel a little bit of shame every time I learn a new one, because I'll read about something he did and I'll say to myself, gosh, I never even knew this guy existed. I almost lived my entire life without knowing he existed. Remember their names. Remember their deeds. These are the people we need to hold up for the next generation and show them this is who you want to be. And we do, of course, take email suggestions. Love, hate, death threats. Ask Dr. Jesse questions. This was an email suggestion. Jesse, I have a suggestion if you haven't done it already. PFC Ronald L. Coker, Vietnam, 1969. So without further ado, let's do this stud of a Marine.
Honoring those who went above and beyond. It's Medal of Honor Monday.
For conspicuous gallantry and intrepidity at the risk of his life above and beyond the call of duty while serving as a rifleman with Company M in action against enemy forces. While serving as point man for 2nd Platoon, PFC Coker was leading its patrol when he encountered 5 enemy soldiers on a narrow jungle trail. PFC Coker's squad aggressively pursued them to a cave. As the squad neared the cave, it came under intense hostile fire, seriously wounding one Marine and forcing the others to take cover. Observing the wounded man lying exposed to continuous enemy fire, PFC Coker disregarded his safety and moved across the fire-swept terrain toward his companion. Although wounded by enemy small arms fire, he continued to crawl across the hazardous area and skillfully threw a hand grenade into the enemy positions, suppressing the hostile fire sufficiently to enable him to reach the wounded man. As he began to drag his injured comrade towards safety, a grenade landed on the wounded Marine. Unhesitatingly, PFC Coker grasped it with both hands and turned away from his wounded companion before he could dispose of the grenade. It exploded. Severely wounded, but undaunted, he refused to abandon his comrade. As he moved toward friendly lines, 2 more grenades exploded near him, inflicting still further injuries. Concerned only for the safety of his comrade, PFC Coker, with supreme effort, continued to crawl and pull the wounded Marine with him. His heroic deeds inspired his fellow Marines to such aggressive action that the enemy fire was suppressed sufficiently to enable others to reach him and carry him to a relatively safe area where he succumbed to his extensive wounds. PFC Coker's indomitable courage, inspiring initiative, and selfless devotion to duty upheld the highest traditions of the Marine Corps and of the U.S. Naval Service. And he gallantly gave his life for his country. And this was in Quang Tri province in Vietnam. Let me just give you just a little background there. We're going to get back to the politics here in a second. A little background on that is, okay, when there were North Vietnam and South Vietnam, you know, it's just one big Vietnam now, but when there was North Vietnam and South Vietnam, that was the northern part, one of the northern parts of South Vietnam. So it's on the border between South Vietnam and North Vietnam. It was where you didn't want to be. It was, as you can imagine, right? You're right there on the border with the enemy. There was so much fighting there, so much infiltration there. It was an ugly place. And respect to him, respect to all of our Vietnam veterans. Like I was talking about earlier in the show, our World War II vets are going away pretty quick here. They're all about done. There's just, you know, Father Time's undefeated. And it hits me that 20 years from now, that's going to be our Vietnam vets. We don't have that much longer with them. Do you have one in your life anywhere? Maybe it's a father, an uncle, a grandpa. I know a lot of these old timers, veterans are almost all, it's not just old timers, veterans are almost all reluctant to talk about the things they've done. And you certainly don't want to press the issue if it's a sore spot for dad or uncle or grandpa or whoever. But may I just encourage you to ask them about their service in more detail? Ask them to tell you stories. It's important to keep those stories alive. It really is. And look, we had a talk last week. I'll just do this. Just give me a second on this. We had a talk last week about knowledge and how it doesn't just get passed down by osmosis. The reason you don't see these beautiful cathedrals built today like they used to build. No one knows how to do it. We lost the knowledge on how to do it. The reason you didn't see people doing Roman things after the Romans finally fell is no one knew how to do it. Stories. The story of you, the story of your father, your grandfather, the individual stories, they do get lost if nobody tells them. I am a history freak, as you know. I love history. I'm just a big fan. I love to read about it and watch it and consume all of it I can. And you know one thing that drives something like me nuts when I let it, when I take a moment and let it? Think about this. I want you to think about all the history stories we've told on this show or you've heard in your life. You've read about them. Maybe you watched a movie or a documentary. All the stories you know from history. Think about this. Think about this. We probably don't know 1% of the amazing history stories that are actually out there. Did you know that? Because of all the oral history before they started writing things down. Because of even during the written era, all the stories that never get told, where everyone dies or a story does get passed down, but just gets passed down to son who doesn't pass it down to his son. Oh, daddy, my daddy had a diary during the war and I read it, but I lost it somewhere. It's up in the attic. I don't know. I should go clean that off. That think about all the history we don't know because we don't focus on passing it down and passing it on. So just talk to the Vietnam veteran in your life. Those are guys who have a pretty unique understanding of the world and the government and how things work. They're worth talking to. And then pass those stories down to your children. All right, enough. Now, I'm going to put a bow on something we were talking about. The New York City pizzeria. They were complaining that these new green rules, they're calling them, of course, they're commie rules, are ethnic discrimination. This, just to put a bow on this story, this goes back to what I was talking about accepting the premise of the communist. It's not ethnic discrimination. It's communism against freedom. The second you decide, well, I mean, I guess it's a good rule, but only if it hurts Italians and Jews, then you're already down the road to the left. How about it's bad for everybody, no matter what, and you can take your gross communism and shove it up your rear end. How about that? That's how you respond to these people. All right. Now, let's talk about the banning of religious symbols from the White House egg contest today. That'll be spicy. Before we get to that, let's do this. Let's talk about your tea levels, gentlemen. We are never going to be able to take these people on if we're a bunch of low tea weenies, guys. If we don't have the energy, if we don't have the confidence. Look, we've had this discussion before. Guys, I see these depression numbers and they're staggering. And don't think it's some kind of an accident that depression numbers, especially in men, have coincided with the drop in testosterone. Your mind has to have testosterone or you're going to get down. Did you know that? Start taking a male vitality stack from Chalk, gentlemen, and watch your entire life improve. Natural herbal supplements. We have to fight back against all the estrogen and the waters and the plastics. Go get a subscription to Chalk, CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Jesse Kelly Show. You're welcome.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. I hope you have enjoyed it. I certainly have on a Medal of Honor Monday. And what am I hoping for? Of course, I know you have. Who wouldn't enjoy this,
Chris? You know,
Chris?
Freedom is not free.
Chris, I don't know why you're shaking your head. Maybe you haven't heard that about freedom. All right, let's get to some emails before I get to the religious-themed holiday that was not allowed at the White House. Jesse, I combine these two into one. Jesse, besides the fact that she's progressive, Donald Trump shouldn't pick Tulsi as VP because she's hot. Men will vote for the hottie, but Trump already has men locked down. He needs more hags. If he picks a woman, there needs to be an absolute wretch of a beast as to not threaten the other hags who may consider voting Trump despite their hag intuition. Okay. So this guy's against Trump and other, or Trump hiring Tulsi to be VP. This guy says, Jesse, I recall you saying the president should pick a VP running mate that has the traits that plug the gaps in his shortcomings. I think Trump wouldn't follow that path and that he would prefer a VP that would continue his policies and legacies. Putting all the never Trump noise aside, who do you think might best do that? All right. First of all, let's address the Tulsi Gabbard thing. As I've said many times, and I don't love this, but it is kind of true. People pick, the presidents pick their VP based oftentimes on perceived, real or perceived shortcomings. Doesn't matter whether or not they're true. Why did Barack Obama, why would he pick Joe Biden to be his VP? No one had ever heard of Joe Biden before then. What did Joe Biden bring that Barack Obama didn't have? Well, Obama was black. His people worried that that was going to be a problem. And Obama was about 12 years old. He'd just gotten the government 5 minutes earlier. He had no experience. Joe Biden, even back then, had been in the Senate for about 8,000 years. Joe Biden, plugs that gap. Hey, look, we got a white guy, and he's actually traveled outside of the country. How about that? And not just to Kenya. All right, and then we're, stop, Chris, we can make jokes. Anyway, why did Donald Trump the first time pick Mike Pence? What's Trump? He's bombastic, he's loud, he's rude, it's in your face. What's Mike Pence? Very quiet, very gentlemanly, very reserved. He'll just very, very politely screw you over. That's Mike Pence. They try to fill the gaps. Look, if Donald Trump is going to get elected next time, I don't know whether he's going to or not, neither do you, but his VP slot probably does need to be uniquely strategic. What the right answer to that is, I don't know. But speaking of Trump and getting elected, we have to have a quick talk here before we move on to the religious-themed White House stuff. Let me ask you something. Do you live in Wisconsin? Everyone can listen, but this is mainly for Wisconsin people. If you live in Wisconsin, are you a registered Republican? Okay, good, good. Let me ask you, do you have any Donald Trump MAGA gear? You have a Trump bumper sticker or a t-shirt, maybe a MAGA hat. You have any of that stuff? Okay, good, good. All this is fine. Good. Totally good to go. All right. Are you voting tomorrow? Are you voting tomorrow? Ah, I'm voting Trump in November. Nope, that didn't ask that at all. Are you voting tomorrow? This is exactly why we lose. Wisconsin has a critical election tomorrow. It's not just about primaries, even though your primary is majorly important too. There are huge ballot initiatives out there, huge ones out there, like deciding on whether or not you're going to have Zuckerberg ballot boxes. Do you think maybe that should be something we should make a priority? Did you know that the state Democrat Party, this is courtesy of my buddy Ryan Gerdusky, that the state Democrat Party has spent $230,000 on the school board races tomorrow in Wisconsin? Do you know how much the GOP state party has spent? $0. Once again, I want to remind everybody that voting once every 4 years for the Republican doesn't mean you're politically involved. It doesn't mean you care. It doesn't mean you're on the right. It's not even the bare freaking minimum. I don't want to hear how MAGA you are if you can't get off the couch and get involved in critical local races. Critical races for school boards and city councils and ballot initiatives and challenging Republicans in primaries and the state house, state legislature, and Congress itself and the United States Senate. I don't give a crap about your MAGA hat and your Make America Great Again yard sign if you're not involved locally. We suck at blocking and tackling, and it drives me insane. And if I sound upset, it's because I'm thinking back to that constitutional amendment that is now the law of the land in the blood red state of Ohio. The constitutional amendment that guarantees women will be able to kill their babies from now until the end of time. Why? Because there was a constitutional amendment and the communists poured their heart and soul into it, and they crawled across a mile of broken glass on election day to go out and make sure they can continue to murder the unborn. The GOP? Well, I mean, no, but I went to a Trump rally once. Tired of it. Tired of it. It's time to become engaged locally. Locally. Honestly, and I want Joe Biden out of the White House more than anybody. Honestly, I'd rather you sit out November's election and get involved now. If you had to make a choice on which of the two things can save your country, the local election tomorrow has more to do with saving yourself and your kids and your way of life than the election in November. If you got to sit one out, sit out the November one. Start getting involved locally, and your MAGA hat don't count. Blocking and tackling. Are we doing get out the vote efforts? Are we running for these school boards? Do we even know who's running in your area? Have you identified who's running? Secretary of State in your area has a list of every ballot initiative right now. You could take 15 minutes and research every candidate, every ballot initiative. It would take you how long? How many? Pick up your phone right now and look at your text messages. Open up your text messages on your phone. How many group text messages are you a part of? Now, how many of those are reminding people to vote tomorrow and who to vote for? 10 minutes of involvement to save the country. It's more important than that MAGA hat. Get involved. All right. Our demonic White House. Next.
Jesse Kelly returns. Next.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Monday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. You said that song's on the list, Chris? Who's saying that song? Are you asking me or telling me, Chris? Is George Strait? Okay, no, that song's okay. Listen, just before I get to the White House and banning of religious themes, I think we just need to have one more talk, Chris, since you're the keeper of the playlist here. I didn't put it on the... I know the program put it... Who's the program, by the way? Who wrote the program? Where do you come up with this? All right, now listen. You know that I'm in general, all kinds of music guy. And I really do mean this. If you were to look at the music on my phone, it's the weirdest collection of music ever. Let me pull it up here. And then it's good on the list here. Okay, so there's classical music. I'm looking at it right now. I have rock, various levels of hard rock. I have all kinds of old school country, Hank Williams Jr., Johnny Cash. Oh, look, there's some rap, tons of Motown on there. Got some Bill Withers. Looks like we got I have Irish drinking songs. Oh, look, there's worship music. Look how holy I am, Chris. Look, there's even music from Disney cartoon movies from when my kids were younger and we had Disney cartoon mashups in there. But you know what you cannot find on this, oh, look, there's even rap. Look how hip I am, Chris. There's even rap. You know what you cannot find on here? Modern country music. Modern. I know George Strait's fine. I was not insulting George Strait. George Strait's fine. You can play George Strait whenever you want. I'm fine with that. Let's just know that there are limits. Any modern country music, I'm a pickup, I'm a woman in the farmer's field, from some guy who's clearly never held a shovel. Never going to be allowed on the show ever. Honestly, anything else would be fine. Anything else would be fine. Modern country music banished for life. Now, let's do this. The White House had the Easter egg roll today. It doesn't matter. It's some big annual event at the White House. They banned any, quote, religious themes at all. Any of them. What does that mean? Obviously, you know what they're banning. You want to have a cross, as you would normally have at some kind of an Easter celebration, ban. You want to have some kind of a display of some kind of an empty tomb, ban. No, sorry, that's not allowed. But, of course, don't forget, it's Tranny Day.
So many transgender students across the country listening on this Trans Day of Visibility, we in the Biden-Harris administration want you to know that we see you, we support you, and we celebrate you. We also know it's not an easy time.
And of course, if you mention Jesus, you have to mention how tranny he was.
I think we got to hit it head on and suggest to President Trump and Mike Johnson and Senator Blackburn and others who are relying on the words of their Christ and their Jesus they celebrate today to condemn Joe Biden, to suggest to them that actually the Jesus they celebrate today would be inclusive of the transgender community.
We got it. Here's all I'm going to say about this. We don't have to go into the details of it because we've had this talk many times. I want to get to the emails. I want to talk about the state of our cities and kind of where they're going and some other things. But your country is going to have a religion. Nations of any size, it doesn't matter what size it is, have religions. They always have, they always will. Whether you're the United States of America with 300 million people, or whether you're a tiny tribe in the hinterlands of Africa, you will have a religion as part of your nation. And there are two reasons for this. One, you are created to worship something, and you will. That is how all men are. Men are searching for something to worship. That's how we're created. Setting that aside, it's how your society, it's how it decides what kind of society it's going to be. The religion in your society is the sun, meaning like the shiny thing in the sky, that kind of thing. It's the sun around which your entire society orbits. Your entire society orbits around your society's religion. If you walk into Saudi Arabia today, how do you think if you walked into a Saudi Arabian school today, do you think you might locate some references to Islam, Muhammad, the Quran? You think you might come across one or two of those? Oh, you would? What about at night tonight? You just knocked off work, construction job, stopped to pick up some, I don't know, falafel and some tea or something like that. You kick back, turn on the tube. Do you think when you turn on the nightly news, do you think in anywhere on in the media which that you're watching, do you think you're going to see any references to Islam, Muhammad, the Quran? Oh, you do? When you go watch the Saudi Arabian soccer team, I'm sure they have a professional soccer league over there. Of course they do. Do you think if you showed up at their soccer stadium, you might see Islamic references there? Of course you would. Do you think if you read their laws, the laws of the land, do you think their laws might kind of look like they were taken from the Quran? You think so? Well, of course you would. That's their religion. Their society orbits around it. In Israel, same thing with Judaism. You go to school, you're going to see a Star of David. You watch the news, you're going to hear references to it. You go to their professional sports leagues, you're going to see references to it. It's their religion. It doesn't matter what you believe. I'm not telling you what to believe. I'm not lecturing anybody. But you have to understand your country will have a religion. You might not understand that. You might not even accept that. But the communist understands it very well. The communist understands not only are we going to have one, but he understands that there's only room for his. You see, in many, many, many countries that have a religion, America's been like this for the longest time, and it's been wonderful. We were founded by Christians. That's who founded America. But we were a country founded on freedom. So please practice yours. As long as yours doesn't interfere with mine, go ahead. That's really what you want, right? You want your country to have a religion, but you do you. I'll do me. As long as I'm not interfering with you, you're not interfering. That's what you want. But that's not how communism works, you see. Communism doesn't share a society. Communism doesn't share loyalty. Communism must be your one and only God. And that's why, whether they were burning down Orthodox churches in the Soviet Union, or tearing down Buddhist temples and setting the monks on fire in China, or anywhere else in Spain, go look at what they did to the Catholic Church there. There's a reason communists attack the religious institutions. We have a rainbow flag, period, because it's an attack on Christianity. Everyone knows the biblical story. Actually, it's an attack, frankly, Chris, on Judaism and Christianity. Everyone knows the story about the rainbow, the promise from God. Chris, you people believe in that too, right? With Noah and the Ark and whatnot. Yeah, exactly. The rainbow, the promise from God, I'll never flood the earth again. That's what the rainbow was. Do you think it's an accident? All the LGBTQ stuff, do you think they adopted that as their symbol by total accident? Think again. That was done on purpose. They knew what they were doing. Do you think it's an accident that yesterday was Easter and every single Democrat in the United States of America from top to bottom went on TV, went on social media to declare it Trans Day of Visibility?
Day on Trans Day of Visibility. We celebrate the trans individuals in our communities and recognize their struggles for recognition and increasingly survival in the face of...
Yeah, we got it. Religious themes were not banned from the White House. Your religion, whatever it was banned from the White House. A new religion was welcomed in. And you see it all around you now, don't you? When's the last time you went to the movies? How many gay people did you see? Forget the movies. When's the last time you watched a TV commercial? Were they all straight couples in there? The new religion, you see it everywhere as our society orbits around it. There is a religious war currently going on in the country. And as we stand, we're losing. We'll see how it goes in the future. Let's do some emails and stuff like that. Before we do that, let's do this. Let's talk about your back. Hurts, doesn't it? Your muscles. You have any joint pain anywhere? Your neck? Feet, knees. The knees always get you. Oh, what's that? It's going to rain. It must. My right knee hurts. Get some Relief Factor in your life. What is Relief Factor? It's four all-natural ingredients. Four key all-natural ingredients. Drug-free. It helps support your body's natural response to inflammation. When you're popping that ibuprofen, that's what you're trying to do. Get the inflammation down. Maybe do that without liquefying your kidneys. Relief Factor. They sell three-week kits. That's it. 3 weeks. They say take it for 3 weeks. You like it? Call and order more. If you don't, don't. You'll call and order more. Call 1-800-4-RELIEF. 1-800-4-RELIEF or relieffactor.com. We'll be back.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Before I get to the emails, I wanted to play this really quickly. The president of Guyana sat down with this dork reporter, which just means apparatchik. Remember, most of the time when you reference a reporter or a journalist, it's just an apparatchik. It's just a communist foot soldier. That's what they are. That's how they see themselves. That's what they do. And man, you have to love it when these people just get it both barrels. This isn't exactly how I would have done it, but I got to tell you, for a politician, he did pretty well. His name is Muhammad Irfan Ali. Irfan, I'm sorry if I'm screwing up his name. I'm genuinely not trying to. I went to community college. Anyway, here's how it went.
It is expected that there will be $150 billion worth of oil and gas extracted off your coast. Think of it in practical terms. That means, according to many experts...
Sorry, I don't have ADHD. I just have to say something. Stop, Chris. I'm not even going to interrupt many times this time. I just want to stop for a moment. This is Guyana. $150 billion in oil. I want to explain something to people that you definitely get, but your norm and norma may not get. That's how people are going to eat, provide basic food, shelter, medical supplies for themselves. The kind of wealth natural resources bring in, we're so spoiled, we're so blessed in America that we have so much that we lose perspective on that. It's how people stay alive. So as this apparatchik reporter is whining about the oil, understand he's whining about a child eating dinner.
More than 2 billion tons of carbon emissions will come from your seabed, from those reserves, and be released into the atmosphere. I don't know if you, as a head of state, went to the COP in Dubai.
Let me stop you right there. Do you know that Guyana has a forest forever that is the size of England and Scotland combined? A forest that stores 19.5 gigatons of carbon, a forest that we have kept alive,
Does that give you the right?
Does that give you the right
to release all of this carbon?
Does that give you the right to lecture us on climate change. I am going to lecture you on climate change because we have kept this forest alive that stores 19.5 gigatons of carbon that you enjoy, that the world enjoy, that you don't pay us for, that you don't value, that you don't see a value in, that the people of Guyana has kept alive. Guess what? We have the lowest deforestation rate in the world. And guess what? Even with our greatest exploration of the oil and gas resource we have now, we will still be net zero. Guyana will still be net zero with all our exploration.
A couple of points.
I'm gonna let him continue. Just understand, I am obviously going to revisit that accepting the premise thing he just did, the whole net zero thing. That was a colossal mistake. For a politician, he's doing very well. That was a huge mistake, playing a game he can't win. But I'll let him finish.
Still be net zero. No, powerful words, Mr. President.
I'm not completed as yet.
I am not finished as yet. Because this is the hypocrisy that exists in the world. The world in the last 50 years has lost 65% of all its biodiversity. We have kept our biodiversity. Are you valuing it? Are you ready to pay for it? When is the developed world going to pay for it? Or are you in the pockets? Are you in the pockets of those who have damaged the environment? Are you in the pockets? Are you and your system in the pockets of those who destroyed the environment through the Industrial Revolution and now lecturing us? Are you in their pockets? Are you paid by them? Are you
Okay. Look, we all enjoyed him abusing that apparatchik reporter. I certainly did. And look, I hear good things about this guy from people I know. At the same time, if you happen to be listening, Mr. President, in Guyana, Chris, what time is it over there? They've got to be on Eastern time at least. I know it's over there. Listen, I don't know what time it is over there, Mr. President, but you can't accept the premise or you're going to lose in the end. Oh, we're net zero. We're protected our forest. The second you go left down that road and accept the premise that carbon is bad for the planet in any way, you've already lost. Happy about your forests? I'm happy you beat up a reporter. You did good. Good for you. Good work. You were going to lose in the end if you don't stop doing that, though. All right? All right, let's get to some emails. Jesse, what are your thoughts on sriracha sauce? Nope. His name's Sam. I'm a hot sauce freak. Chris, I don't like, I don't know whether it has horseradish in it, but whatever it is, there's some kind of flavor in sriracha that I don't like, and I love hot sauce. No, it's not vinegar. I like vinegar, like a North Carolina barbecue. Oh man, I'm going to catch so much heat for this. It's not going to be worth it for me to say what I'm about to say, but I'm going to say it. All right. North Carolina barbecue is the best barbecue because it's actually more vinegary than the other kinds of barbecue. I didn't think I was going to like that. Man, to have passed through the Carolinas, dude, it's pretty good. What, Chris? What? No. Chris, see, now Jewish producer Chris is telling lies, dirty lies. Chris said, I don't like pickles and pickles are vinegar. I didn't say I didn't like vinegar. I didn't say I didn't like pickles. I never said that. No. I said I didn't like pickles on my sandwich. Okay? Those are two totally different things, Chris, that you can't lump into one. I like pickles. Fry me up some pickles. Fry me up some pickles. Serve it to me deep fried with a little ranch on the side, a little dippy. I'm all day I'll eat pickles. Don't put it on my sandwich because then no matter what the sandwich is, all you can taste is the pickle. So no, I don't want your pickle on my sandwich. And I wish I'd put that differently. But I don't want pickles on sandwiches. That's not me being anti-pickle. Back to North Carolina barbecue. The extra vinegar does something, man. I'm telling you, it adds something to it. How do we get on this conversation? Oh yeah, sriracha. There's something about sriracha that I don't dig. I don't dig it at all. And I really do not know exactly what it is. And this is from me, you know, Mr. Hot Sauce, professional athlete Jesse. And I'm telling you, ugh. All right. We're going to talk about local. You know, I made that prediction about gangs eventually governing, taking part in governing the cities, American cities. And everyone said I was nuts. You're watching this begin in real time. And we're going to talk about that, cities and what's happening to them in a moment. Before we do that, let's do this. You want to feel good about something? You remember that whole Bud Light controversy with the tranny on the beer can? Because you have decided to put your money where your morals are, Bud Light has lost $1.4 billion. That's what putting your money where your morals are does. So when I tell you to switch your cell phone service, it's not just about going to Pure Talk. You know, Pure Talk is the patriotic cell phone company. Their CEO is a veteran. They're tackling veteran suicide. They're wonderful, but it's not even really just about that. It's about taking your money away from companies like AT&T or T-Mobile or Verizon, companies that have used your money for years to crap on you and your country and your values. Make the switch to Pure Talk today. On top of all the other money you save, my bill got cut in half. If you switch today, you save an additional 50% off your first month. Pick up your phone. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly, switch to Pure Talk. A little city preview and more. Next.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.